And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever the platform might be. Just search for the Nick Craig Show there. You can also listen online at nickcraig.com. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday morning, and I promised on Friday that we were going to be digging into property taxes on the Monday show. Unfortunately, the busy news cycle of the weekend took away from that. However, a man of my word, and we're going to be diving into that today. So we've got two different things going on here locally this morning in New Hanover County. And before we get into any of that, I do want to start off with some interesting news coming out of southeastern North Carolina this morning. A Novant Airlink helicopter crashes near Holly Shelter Road. This happened last night shortly after 9 o'clock. Novant Health has confirmed that there was an Airlink incident Monday evening. According to Novant Health, three team members were on a helicopter at the time of the crash and were being transported to the hospital for an evaluation. A spokesperson said this to WECT News, quote, "We can confirm there was an Airlink incident this evening. Three team members were on board the helicopter and are being transported for evaluation. There were no patients on board. We are focused on the well-being of our flight crew, their families, and our team members. We are still in the initial response and information gathering phase at this time and have limited information to share." The helicopter allegedly crashed near the New Hanover-Pender County line on Holly Shelter Road. And while the public information is rather scarce this morning, there is some information coming in from, and you know, you got to take this stuff with a grain of salt, but nevertheless, there is some information coming in from individuals that seem to have some inside information, some inside knowledge that are indicating that the flight crew members are pretty beaten up, but they should be they should survive that crash. No additional details as to how or why something like this happened. What the deal is with this helicopter crash in Pender, the New Hanover Pender County line. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the day, and we'll see if we get any updates here over the next hour. Probably not, but a pretty scary situation. We'll keep an eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, so to our main topic of the day this morning, property taxes. This is a major issue, not only here locally across New Hanover County, southeastern North Carolina, but the state as a whole. North Carolina has seen an absolute boom in its population over the last, well, we call it about 20, 25, maybe even 30 years. There's been a massive boom in the population of the state of North Carolina. And we've seen many areas grow at rapid rates. You, of course, have our major metro areas. That would be Charlotte and Raleigh. You go out to the west, you've got areas like Asheville that have grown very quickly. You go to the east, and you've got areas like southeastern North Carolina, New Hanover, Pender, and Brunswick County that have grown at very, very rapid rates over the last couple of decades, 20, 25, 30 years or so. And with that, especially in New Hanover County, which geographically is the second smallest county by landmass in the state of North Carolina, out of all 100 counties, the second smallest, we're landlocked. You've got the Atlantic Ocean on the east. You've got the Cape Fear River on the west. You've got Pender County to the north. And then you've got the mouth of the Cape Fear River and the Atlantic Ocean to the south, where the Fort Fisher is and where everything spits out in the southern half of the county. It is a geographically very small area, unlike what you see in areas like Raleigh or Charlotte, where they're able to expand outward into areas like Durham and Johnston County. And out in Mecklenburg County, you've got things that are going north towards the Lake Norman area, west to the Gastonia. You've got that growth. This expansion is able to succumb and take over multiple areas, and you have a larger metropolitan region. You don't really have that in southeastern North Carolina. Now, Brunswick County is one of the fastest growing counties in the country, and geographically, it's one of the largest in terms of land that's available. And you drive through Brunswick County, it's still plenty of trees, plenty of forest area through there. There is plenty of room for growth, and there's been a lot of growth in Brunswick County. Take a ride down Highway 17. You'll see it as you're over in the Leland area heading down towards Southport. It's massive amounts of growth in Brunswick County. And we've seen massive growth in Wilmington and New Hanover County as well. However, we are dealing with a huge geographical challenge. There's nowhere else to go. You have to go up. And this creates an interesting conversation. Obviously, there is a lot of comment and conversation in the county about apartments and things going upwards. But there's a very real thing that we need to talk about. And there's a lot of NIMBY, not in my backyard, conversation that's taking place in our area by individuals that have not lived here very long, myself included. We have this issue where the land, the raw land that is sitting, that is still undeveloped, the value of that land is skyrocketing exponentially in regards to its price. It is the property values of just raw land. We're not even talking about houses yet, just land, undeveloped land is skyrocketing because there's a finite amount of it. There's nowhere else to go. So you've got that taking place, meaning that if you are a developer and you want to go in and buy some land to put up single family homes, which is what everybody wants, those homes have to be incredibly expensive because the land that those homes are being built on is very expensive. You've got this problem. You can't build a home on land for $250,000. The land is too expensive to justify the cost of that home. So you build a home that's $750,000 on that piece of property to, as a developer, recoup your costs of buying the land and building the home and selling. So that's the overall picture that we've got right now. And that's why you're seeing density taking place, building up instead of out. Because, again, there is a problem with the amount of land that is available. So the real estate market has experienced unprecedented growth since the last property reevaluation, which happened in 2021. That's the last time that properties were reevaluated. We do property evaluations every 4 years in New Hanover County. Now, according to the tax administrator, Allison Snell, residential values increased 67.23% on average, and commercial property values increased 66.9% on average, bringing the overall rise to 67.15% on average since these reevaluations were done just 4 years ago. The median change for both sectors was a little over 59%. However, the median increase is different from the average, which reflects the area's price point where half of the homes sell for more and half sell for less. This is no surprise to anybody, but the county's beach towns experience the highest average increase. Wrightsville Beach, 77%. Curie and Carolina Beach, 73%. The city of Wilmington, 63%, while the unincorporated parts of the county, of which where I live, and most of the northern half of the county into the Castlehaine area, all unincorporated, that grew at a 67% rate. Allison Snell told the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners, quote, "There was a lot of people looking to move to the beach, and they're willing to pay for it." Now, this next figure is pretty shocking. The county's average home price is now valued at $581,000. That's the average, with the median being $411,000. Thus, the average home value bill is going to be somewhere in the ballpark of $2,600 this year based on the current tax rate of 45 cents per $100 worth of valuation. Now, we'll get into that little piece coming up, but if things stay exactly where they are right now, the current tax rate, 45 cents per $100, your tax bill would be average tax bill would be $2,600 if your home is valued between $400,000 and $500,000, which is where most homes are right now. Commissioner Rob Zapple said at the meeting, quote, "We've seen somewhere in the neighborhood, I believe, of a 20 to 23% inflation since 2021, yet we still tax everything based on 2021 values. I know that's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but the truth is we're really lucky to be living in a growing community." Now, I don't often agree with Commissioner Zapple when it comes to economic things, but he's right about this. And I used to mention this on the radio when we talked about the complications and the issues that we're dealing with in southeastern North Carolina. Growth is challenging. There's a whole bunch of issues that come with growth. One of the biggest and one that you deal with and interface every day is traffic. When you have explosive growth, when you have a highly sought after area like New Hanover County in southeastern North Carolina is, there's a lot of people that want to be here, and they, in fact, have the ability to be here. And so with that, you have huge explosions in growth, and infrastructure doesn't keep up with it. So you've got a traffic problem that takes place, a traffic issue that happens. But it is always better to be on the side of growth than to be on the side of decay. It is always better to be on the side of growth than on the side of decay. And if you don't believe me, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, I encourage you to take a ride out on 7476 towards the Charlotte area and drive through towns that used to be very prosperous with booming textile and tobacco industries that take place in rural North Carolina, and see what some of these places look like now, where they are not on the side of growth. They are not on the side of booming influx in terms of people moving to the area. They are on the side of decay and decline, where individuals do not want to live in these rural areas, where businesses are being shuttered day in and day out, where the only thing that there are a couple of fast food stops on the main drag, 7476, and that's it. You've got some of these towns getting unincorporated because there's just no longer any population left. It is always better to be on the side of growth. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean that there's not huge amounts of growing pains associated with being on the side of growth. But it is always better to be on the side of growth. And I have to agree wholeheartedly with Commissioner Zapple on that. So the reevaluation process starts with a market analysis to determine trends and market costs. This informs a schedule of values which the county's tax department must adhere to when assigning values. The analysis evaluates income, vacancy rates, cap rates, building costs, and sales data. The state requires municipalities to undergo this process every 8 years. That is what is mandated by state law. However, New Hanover County does it every 4 years, and Commissioner Dane Scalise asked Allison Snell to explain why. Her response was this: "When you see such a drastic change in the market, it can be a big shock to many people. Unfortunately, even on a 4-year cycle, we're going to see that with this reevaluation. And that's why the market and that's what the market has done, unfortunately. But the hope is doing it on a shorter cycle will alleviate some of the sticker shock." Last month, county staff got a bit of a pre-briefing on these numbers, telling commissioners that keeping tax rates the same could bring in upwards of an additional $127 million in property tax revenue. This was on the lower end if property reevaluations came to a 55% increase. However, as we just learned, it's now estimated to be around 67%, which would bring that number to $150 million. Now, this is an issue. This is a major issue. Why? Because the second government sees the opportunity for more money without having to do anything, or they don't have to raise taxes to generate an extra $150 million in revenue. They don't have to change anything that they're doing right now besides conducting property reevaluations, which they do on a 4-year cycle. They don't have to do anything, and they have an extra $150 million to spend. That is incredibly damaging and dangerous for citizens of New Hanover County. When you say to government, you might have an extra $150 million, the second that that is understood, that money already starts getting played with. Now, it's not allocated. We have not gone through the budget session yet. But already the calls, the emails, the conversations start as to how we can spend that $150 million that we now have. Because it's free money. It's extra money that the county didn't have to do anything to generate. All they had to do was collect individuals' property tax bills, which is, you know, a relatively easy and minute task for government to deal with. Just collect people's property taxes. Most people, if you've got a mortgage payment, you pay it through your escrow. It's paid by the mortgage company. You don't see the bill. You don't get it. I mean, now you may get it in the mail, but your mortgage company takes care of it. So it's a relatively easy way for counties and governments in this case. We're talking about a county government. Do you get a huge influx of cash without having to do anything? Because there's no negative press in regards to raising taxes because they didn't raise taxes. Right? 45 cents per $100 of valuation. But of course, the unmentioned thing in that is that property values have increased on an average 67% since 2021, 4 years ago. And that's the issue at hand. Pet projects can get funded. This money, which is not the county's money, which is not the state's money, it's my money, it's your money. As property owners in New Hanover County, that money is immediately gone. Very quickly, $150 million can be allocated and spent. The county also presented several tax scenarios for the next fiscal year, which begins on July the 1st. That happens across the state of North Carolina. The inflation-adjusted rate calculated for a 65% increase was 35 cents, which is 10 cents lower than the current rate per $100 worth of valuation. The county estimated an additional $68 million in revenue is needed to keep up with inflation while funding the same budget lines. That seems incredibly high. I reject the premise that the county needs $70 million extra dollars in this budget session to keep all of their same programs alive. I don't buy that for a second. I don't believe for one second that that's the case. On top of the inflationary adjustment, the county estimated $69 million in additional revenue was needed for enhancements or added costs to the general fund, such as needs for the New Hanover County school system or moving over items from COVID-19 relief funding, which have now expired. So I'm no mathematician, but if the county says we need $68 million just to keep pace with everything that we have now, and you know, and on top of that, an extra $69 million for enhancements. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to $137 million, which is right on track with the $150 million worth of estimated additional revenue that the county's going to get. This is what I'm talking about. So if the county did not do property reevaluations this year, let's say they were next year, I'm supposed to assume that the county would have to generate an extra $140 million in revenue? That's what county employees are telling our county commissioners. Again, it's absurd. The county needs $140 million extra this year to operate essentially the same way that it is right now. I don't buy it. Adjusting the budget for inflation and these enhancements, which were more broad strokes when presented because of how early the county is in its budget process, would bring the additional revenue need to $130 million. Actually, $137 million, but nevertheless. The commissioners have not yet indicated their plans to adjust the county's tax rate. We'll get into that in a second. And bills will not be distributed to property owners until that decision is made and goes into effect next fiscal year, beginning July the 1st. Now, what you will be getting in the mail over the next couple of days is your new property reevaluation. You won't get a new tax bill, but you will get a letter from the county indicating what your property is worth, which, by the way, you can fight. And once those bills come out, we'll get an expert on to talk about what those bills look like and how you go through the process if you believe you need to go through the process of going to the county and getting those reevaluations potentially turned down or cut down in regards to what they say your value is worth. Any disputes owners have can be settled through an appeals process. The review board will adjourn on May the 22nd, at which point no more appeals will be accepted, though the board will continue to hear cases throughout the year. So again, you will get those in the mail over the next couple of weeks. However, there is already the information is already online. If you go to the New Hanover County property assessment website, which I'll throw a link in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, you can go in there and view your property reevaluation and see exactly what things are going to potentially look like for your tax seasons coming up. So that's kind of how that's going to look over the next couple of years, at least as of right now. So that is in. They have got their property reevaluations done. And again, there will be an opportunity for individuals to appeal those decisions. And there's no question about it. That will be happening. And we'll dive into some of those details and what some of that looks like in the coming days. However, back to our topic this morning. Snell said, even property owners have the right to appeal their property value, and we encourage them to do so if they have any inclination or reason to believe that the value established for their property is incorrect or there's something that we have not considered. During the last reevaluation, which took place in 2021, only 5,000 people appealed, which is not a small number, but in the grand scheme of all property in the county, it's a lot. Appeals must be submitted to the tax department in writing and providing data or evidence supporting the property owner's dispute or of the reevaluation. Snell also explained that the county has launched a comparable search portal through its website, allowing people to enter their property and see other properties that have sold at the same price, and that data can be used in the appeals process as well. There are some exclusions some community members can take advantage of to alleviate some of the costs from the reevaluation as well. Elderly, meaning 65 or older, or permanently disabled residents with income below $37,500 a year can have their bill reduced by $25,000 or 50% if the assessed value of their home, whichever is greater. Veterans with a 100% total disconnected service-related disability can apply to receive a $45,000 reduction on their assessed property value. The veterans must have been honorably discharged, and their spouses may also apply if that veteran is deceased. This is what is called a circuit breaker program for the elderly with income up to $37,000 a year. Snell added that county residents can break down their tax bill into four increments. However, the department accepts payments all year long. So, with that setup, what's going on here? You have got a area of the state that is very much sought after. You have got an area of the state that people, well, really want to live. And with that, you are seeing, as I've mentioned, explosive growth. With that, property reevaluations are skyrocketing, 67% on average, and that is where government has a huge decision to make. Do they keep going and keep the tax rate the same pull in an extra $150+ million in fund pet projects? Or do they cut the tax rate to get things back to, and a term you will hear likely a lot over the next couple of months, is revenue neutral, where they cut the tax rate back to a number in which they are generating essentially the same amount of revenue from property taxes? That is the decision that government is going to have to make. Now, fortunately for residents of New Hanover County, we do have three Republicans on the Board of Commissioners. You've got Commissioner Dane Scalise, Commissioner Leanne Pierce, and the chair of the county commissioner in Bill Rivenbark. So we have three Republicans. The question is, can those three Republicans come together and save the residents of New Hanover County? And I truly mean save the residents of New Hanover County with skyrocketing tax bills. That's going to be the million-dollar question. I've got an opinion piece from Commissioner Dane Scalise that ran yesterday in the Wilmington Business Journal about just this. The headline, "When Property Values Go Up, Tax Rates Must Go Down." So we've got some comments there from Commissioner Scalise. We'll get into those coming up here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you, if you are enjoying the program, believe that you are getting some value, you can support the show financially over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can support the show and get bonus access, including daily show notes and access to our monthly hangouts. That will be happening this Thursday, February the 27th at 7 p.m. Jump on a Zoom call for an hour or two, chat about the news, the issues of the day, maybe property reevaluations. Maybe we'll go through those. You can get access to that by becoming a Patreon member over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Look forward to chatting with everybody Thursday night. If you're not already subscribed, head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. We will dive into this opinion piece from Commissioner Dane Scalise on these property values and how taxes need to be handled going forward. Coming up after this, you're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this Tuesday morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Or if you're a podcast listener, you can join the show live at 7 a.m. each and every weekday morning and take your comments in on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And of course, if you're watching live and miss any portion of the show, you are encouraged to check out the podcast. So, talked about the property reevaluations. Those figures are already available online. You'll be getting a letter in the mail over the next couple of days or weeks from the county with those new appraised totals. Have had the opportunity to look at mine, and we'll see kind of how this shakes out. But again, with this, with the property evaluations going up on average 67%, this leaves government with a huge decision to make. What do we do with the extra money? We can spend it, or we can give it back to the people. We can cut the tax rate so that there is not as much burden, not as much pain for the individuals that own property. And that is the premise of this opinion piece this morning over at the Wilmington Business Journal, written by Commissioner Dane Scalise. And I wanted to read through it. I found it very insightful in kind of setting the standard here and setting the agenda for this as it goes forward. Again, written by Commissioner Scalise. It reads as follows. At the end of February, most property owners in New Hanover County will receive notices that their tax value of their real property has significantly increased. Some residential and commercial properties will even double or triple in value. Counties across North Carolina are required to perform these property reevaluations at least every 8 years. New Hanover County chooses to do so every 4 years as an effort to minimize sticker shock. Sometimes, however, the invisible hand of the market has different plans. Commissioner Scalise says, here's the simple reality. If the current property tax rate, which is 45 cents per $100 of valuation, remains unchanged, these upward swings in property valuations would result in a huge tax bill increase for you and gobs more revenue for the government, perhaps $150 million or more. It said that higher costs of doing the government's business, mostly due to inflation since 2021, means that the county government needs more revenue to function as usual. There's some truth to that, but you know who needs the money more than even more? You. Budgets should serve first and foremost the taxpayers. Taxes should be levied sparingly and spent judiciously. The growing concerns of the public over these increased property valuations demand a response from those making these decisions. Inspired by input I have received through conversations with New Hanover County citizens, here are the priorities I will be pursuing during our county's upcoming budget cycle. Number one, massively lowering the tax rate. My position is straightforward. If property values are going way up, then the tax rate should go way down. It is good that our homes are worth more, but that's no excuse for government to pick your pocket. We must lower the property tax rate in a meaningful way to minimize the impact that these increases will have on your tax bill. Sounds great to me. Massively lower the tax rate? The government shouldn't be picking my pocket? Boy, isn't that a refreshing thing to hear. Seems like every time you turn the corner, the government is standing there with its hand out saying, more money, please. And that's, you know, a position and a situation that could unfold, very much unfold here in the next couple of months. So that's number one, massively lowering the tax rate. Number two, cut wasteful spending. We have too much money going to the wrong items. In an annual budget of over $500 million, there is plenty of room for optimization. As always, my focus is and remains on exclusively funding core services. And Commissioner Scalise goes through some of the wasteful spending that he believes is evident in New Hanover County. Number one, cut the DEI department. I strongly believe in fairness and equality for all citizens, but I do not believe that the DEI department is the proper mechanism for achieving that critical goal. I will continue to advocate for this change as long as DEI initiatives put our county at risk of legal liability and losing federal and state funding. And there's even more truth to this in the last couple of days than there was when we talked to Commissioner Scalise back a couple of weeks ago about this. There's been legislation introduced in the General Assembly that would strip DEI from every local state and every local and state government across North Carolina. It is a huge sink drain of money with no objectives, no goals, and no ways to measure any sort of outcome. Just spending money, not for community outreach, but funding people's salaries, which is exactly what the New Hanover County DEI department does right now. So that's number one, cut the DEI department in terms of wasteful spending. Number two, cut government operational expenses. Our county government can and should be leaner. We need to take a renewed look at all county departments, particularly those that are administrative in nature, to determine where we are top-heavy and/or inefficient. I would gladly welcome the opportunity to hire an experienced third party to perform an audit of the county's functions and operations. Well, that sounds very much like government efficiency. Maybe over the last couple of days and weeks and a little bit of time, you've heard something about a group called DOGE, I believe it's called, the Department of Government Efficiency. Sounds like we need to be doing the same thing here in New Hanover County. Getting and making sure that government is more efficient, which is not a controversial thing. I'm not sure how it's become so controversial, but it is. Government needs to be lean, provide the services that they do at the lowest possible cost. Because again, it's not their money. It's my money. It's your money. It's small businesses' money. It's not the county's money. It's ours. So cutting some operational expenses out of the county government, where there is undoubtedly redundancies and waste. Sounds great. Number three, cut non-county agency funding. This is a huge piece of the puzzle. We have many fantastic local nonprofits and other private organizations. But there is an inherent issue when the government picks and chooses which of these non-government entities will receive taxpayer dollars and, by extension, which will not. I believe that the endowment created from the sale of the hospital is a more appropriate source of this funding. Furthermore, if we return more money to our citizens, then they can choose to be more charitable individually or through their business. I have not specifically talked to Commissioner Scalise about this cutting of non-county agency funding, but you heard me yell and scream about this on the radio over the last couple of years. With the county's endowment, and him and I are singing from the exact same sheet of music on this, we have the sale of the New Hanover Regional Medical Center, which we're not relitigating this morning, but you have got an endowment there that is generating tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year in interest over the $1 billion sale. That is the group that needs to handle nonprofit funding. I don't think county and city governments should have ever been in the position to fund nonprofits. Never. They have been. That needs to stop. We have a source of revenue now that does not affect taxpayers, that does not immediately affect something like your property tax bill, whether you're in the city or the county. There is no reason with the New Hanover County Community Endowment that New Hanover County or the city of Wilmington should spend a penny funding a nonprofit. And it's not because they do bad work. It's not because they're running a scam or doing something illegal or shady. It's not the role of government. There is an entity that can handle it now. That needs to happen. One of the things that I loved doing on the radio, and I will do so this year, is going and digging through the budget, line item by line item. And I'm probably still in a box when I got terminated. I've got my paperwork from the last county budget cycle with highlighter marks all over it, specifically dealing with this non-county agency funding. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year being allocated to nonprofits in our community, getting taxpayer dollars. We have an avenue and a vehicle for that to be dealt with now. The county shouldn't do it anymore. Phenomenal idea by Commissioner Scalise. So those are some of the ways to cut wasteful spending. We now head on over to number three, increase funding for core services. Your tax dollars should be spent only on the most worthwhile critical government services. Those include things, according to Commissioner Scalise, as increased funding for students and teachers. Last year, despite numerous budgetary challenges, the county budget provided the largest amount of money it ever has for our school system. This year, I want to do so even more, including more pay for teachers and more funding for Cape Fear Community College. That's number one in increasing funding for core services. Two, increased funding for veteran services. Federal and state services often shortchange our veterans. The least we can do at the county level is ensure that the 15,000 veterans living in New Hanover County receive the best customer service we can offer. Core government service, all in favor of it. Increased funding for law enforcement and first responders. There should never be any doubt that those on the front line of public safety have the resources they need to keep us safe. Law and order, funding, law enforcement, first responders. That includes things like fire service. Absolutely. Increased funding for senior resources. Those on fixed incomes are especially vulnerable to tax hikes. We can't leave them behind. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a huge piece of the puzzle as well. You have individuals that have lived in the city of Wilmington, bought their house 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever, and have had their property values go up by hundreds of thousands of dollars. Homes that were bought for $150,000, $200,000 30 years ago, now worth over $1 million. The tax bill on a $1 million house is completely impractical for individuals that have been and are retired and living on very fixed incomes through things like Social Security. If they didn't work for a place that had a pension system, or they didn't invest into a retirement account privately, all they were living on is Social Security. You'd literally tax them out of their homes with these property reevaluations when government does not cut the tax rate. It's ridiculous. I agree with Commissioner Scalise. You cannot leave those individuals behind. as well as increased funding for sustainability measures. Now, right now, is the time to invest in thoughtful planning for our future. This means more investing in green space and adaptive reuse. Current and future generations need us to be very thoughtful and deliberate about how we approach this important issue. Commissioner Scalise wraps up his comments, his opinion piece, by saying, quote, "These priorities will be my guide during this budget cycle as we negotiate and decide on a tax rate that will meet the county's true revenue needs, accounting for inflation. While I am only one of five county commissioners, I will never stop using my voice and my vote to advocate for what I believe is the best interest of those I represent." A phenomenal opinion piece from Commissioner Scalise. You are going to see a knockout, drag-out battle over the budget this year. You are going to see very clear lines drawn in the sand over how the county needs to handle this property reevaluation. You are going to have scores of groups coming into the area. They're already here. But you'll have various groups coming in, pleading with the county commissioners that they don't need to cut taxes, that there's so much need in our community, and that they are best to spend that $150 million worth of extra revenue that they're going to generate. That's I'm not going to name the groups. I think it would be disingenuous to do so. We'll call them out when it happens, but I'll give them an opportunity to prove me wrong. But the various groups across our county that will be flooding these county commission meetings, begging and pleading for the county to keep the tax rate the way it is right now. And we're going to have to counter that message. We are going to have to show up to these county commission meetings, of which I will publish the details on, and I'll show up myself to publish the details of these meetings and make sure that we get there and make sure our voice is heard. The county can continue to operate under the same amount of money it's generating right now. Has inflation had an impact? Sure. Does the county need some additional funds for things? Absolutely. But I'm only in favor of the county getting an extra penny of mine if they have done a serious inward reflection and looked at where they can cut waste, where they can cut redundant services. I saw a tweet yesterday, and like an idiot, I don't think I bookmarked it, but it was something with, I don't remember what entity it was with or what agency it was with, but it was something DOGE related. And the tweet essentially said, hey, we went into to some system and we ran our algorithm to look at waste in, here it is, in the Social Security Administration. This is the post I was looking for. Within the administration itself, DOGE ran a computer software audit algorithm and system, and it found this: four redundant surveying tools ranging from $118,000 to $1.8 million a year that are being spent for four redundant surveying tools. It found that the Social Security Administration is paying for 10,000 licenses to a software called UiPatch, but yet they're only using 5,000 of them. So they've got double the amount of software licenses for this software. At what cost? I have no idea. Paying for 20,600 Tableau licenses, which is a graphical tabling online software system. They're only using 11,560 of them. And this piggybacks off of a tweet from other software licenses. For example, at the Government Service Administration with 13,000 employees, they have 37,000 copies of WinZip, which, by the way, is free software. You don't need to pay for. But the government did, and they own 37,000 licenses. It's remarkable what goes on within government. And so when you talk about finding waste, this is one of the things that we're talking about. You know, the left wants to immediately jump to, well, you're just firing people willy-nilly. You're just, you know, chopping the head off of government, and you're not acting in an efficient manner. We're not talking about necessarily firing or getting rid of employees. But you're going to tell me with a straight face that New Hanover County is not paying for redundant services? That they don't have maybe twice as many software licenses for a piece of software that they're paying for every month or every year? This happens all over the place. This happens in private business too. What happens in private business? You audit. You look at, we're spending like $1,500 a month on this software suite. Ah, we're paying for 10 licenses. How many people are actually using it? Well, only 5. Okay. Well, it looks like we can cut our bill in half then. Instead of spending $1,500 a month, we can spend somewhere in the ballpark of $750 a month. Somewhere in that ballpark. That's how you audit government. You do it the same way that you do it in private business. So if the county wants to keep the tax rate where it is right now to generate an extra $150 million in revenue out of your and my pocket, then I need to have that justified to me. When we are learning from county officials, and this is from a county commission meeting that happened back a couple of weeks ago, when county officials are saying they need an additional $68 million in revenue to keep pace with inflation, I say to that, start digging into the numbers a little bit deeper. Figure out where the waste is. Figure out where the fat is. Figure out where the bloat is and cut it. Reduce the cost. Yes, inflation has had an impact on everything and everybody, from individuals to government to Fortune 500 companies to mom and pop small businesses. Everybody has dealt with inflation. There is no argument about that. But see, when you and I deal with inflation, what do we have to do? We have to cut costs. We have to change the way in which we shop. So instead of buying the name brand cereal, you're buying the store brand. Maybe you're a great value shopper now, which is Walmart's brand of product. We don't have the ability to wave a magic wand and generate $68 million in additional revenue. We have to actually make sacrifices. Maybe you enjoyed going out to dinner every single weekend. Well, with inflation, with things costing so much more, maybe you only do that 2 weekends now instead of 4. Those are real life things that real people, including myself, have had to do to deal with the rising cost of inflation. Why can't government do the same? Instead of increasing revenue, instead of saying, oh, we need $70 million to keep up with inflation, why don't you look at what you can cut? Why don't you look at what sacrifices can be made? This should not be an overly complicated task, but it is. Because it's something that government has never had to do. It's something that government really struggles wrapping its head around. And I saw a great back and forth exchange on, I think it was CNN last night, with Kevin O'Leary, who was on with some representative from, I think it was Jersey. And they were talking about cutting government or government waste, government spending. And Kevin O'Leary talked about how they do this in private business. Kevin O'Leary talked about how they do this stuff in the real world. And would you be surprised that, well, sometimes things hurt. Sometimes serious cuts need to be made. Sometimes serious sacrifice needs to happen. And this is a really tough thing for government to wrap their head around. This is the exchange last night on CNN with Kevin O'Leary, with this idiot from New Jersey, talking about government waste, government spending, and what's going on with DOGE. Take a listen.
Yes, you can't be surgically precision. There's no way to be surgically precision in this. You have to cut more because you just don't know. There's no way to do it. Remember, we've never audited government for 100 years. Never done this before. You may not like it.
Tom doesn't think that's right. Tom, what's your reaction to that? There's government's not
every audited. Every agency of the federal government, it helps to know some things if we're going to have this debate. Every agency of the federal government is audited by independent inspectors general. USAID was audited over 60 times last year. And one of the first things that Donald Trump and Elon Musk did was to fire all of the inspectors general. They fired the auditors, and they put in charge this billionaire with his 50-child intern.
Now, let me stop with this jackass from New Jersey. If government is audited every year, how the hell can the Social Security Administration have twice as many licenses for a piece of software than they are actually being used? If you're going to go on national television and claim that the government is being audited, it's being audited every year by independent inspector generals. What a waste of money that is. Why the hell are we funding inspector generals to audit companies when we're finding out that the Social Security Administration is paying for 10,000 licenses for a piece of software and only using 5,000 of them? What the hell are you talking about? Government is being audited. This stuff can't exist if audits are happening. But they're not. They're not. This is the kind of crap that exists at the federal, state, and local level. When you have a streaming service that you don't use anymore, what do? You stop paying for it. You want to watch a show on HBO? You subscribe to HBO for 2 months, you pay for it, and then you cancel the subscription because you don't want to spend the money on it. That's how every person operates. Federal government, to hell with it. We'll keep paying for 10,000 licenses of this UiPath software. We'll continue to pay for that. And, you know, it doesn't matter that only 5,000 people are using it. It's not our money. So who cares? Let's get some more insights from this jerk from New Jersey.
Interns who know absolutely nothing about the federal government. And Kevin, like what you're talking about, it might work for a company that makes widgets, because we can do without the company that makes widgets for a few months while you get in there and you restructure it. You can't do that to the FAA unless people aren't going to fly in planes for the next 4 or 5 months. You can't do that to the Defense Department unless you don't want to defend this country for the next 4 or 5 months. That it's ridiculous that we're even having this argument. And I'm someone who believes there is waste in government and there are ways to get at it, but not by firing everybody first, shutting things down while you investigate. Do the investigation, work with Congress, work with these employees, do it right. It's been done before.
It's not been done before. This congressman from New Jersey is a liar because it's not been done before. I'll pull up the tweet again for you. If it was done before, the Social Security Administration would not be paying for 4 redundant survey tools, which range from $118 to $1.8 million a year. They would not be paying for 20,600 licenses to a table software, and they're only using 11,000 seats and copies of. The Government Service Administration would not, which has 13,000 employees, would not have 37,000 licenses to WinZip if government was being audited and government was being efficient. But it's not. And this is, again, not just a federal issue. Governments of all size need to wake up, smell the coffee, and start doing the work of their constituents, which includes cutting waste, cutting redundant services, whether those are physical services that are being paid for, whether it's software, whether it's employees. If you have 3 people that are doing the same job that can be done by 1, that's waste. It's great that people have jobs, but that's not the role of government. The role of government is not to be an employer. It's to provide core services to its constituents. And so if government is not serious about cutting waste, tying this back home to where we are in New Hanover County this morning, if government is not serious about cutting some of this waste, then they need to not increase their funding. They need to go to a revenue-neutral tax rate, which includes a major cut in the 45 cents per $100 of valuation that exists on the books right now. This is not a complicated task. This is not a complicated issue. If you want more money, justify it. If you need more money, that's okay. Even though I'm a small government conservative, if you need to provide a core service and don't have the money to do so, that's fine. Make that plea to the taxpayer. justify to them what you need and how much it's going to cost. But don't feed me this BS that the county needs $68 million in additional revenue to keep up with inflation. Bull. You're not looking at cutting waste. You're not looking at cutting spending. You're not looking at cutting redundant services. You want to keep everything the way that it is right now, which is rampant with waste, rampant with inefficiencies, and just surge $70 million more into that, thinking it's going to make my life any better. It's going to make residents and taxpayers of New Hanover County, property owners of which I am, our lives any better, which it won't. It will have zero impact on my life. Zero. This discussion that is taking place at all levels of government right now is truly generational. What you are seeing, and it's trickling down up in Washington, D.C. with DOGE, with, as this jackass from New Jersey says, Elon Musk's team of 50 children that are digging in. You mean the 50 children that are finding the waste, fraud, and abuse of which you say is not happening because the government is being audited? As they're digging into the federal government and figuring out just how bad the situation really is. That needs to happen at the state level. There's discussions of a DOGE, and there's already some semblance of a DOGE committee forming here in North Carolina, and it needs to happen locally. And going back to Commissioner Scalise's op-ed over at the Wilmington Business Journal, if a third party needs to be hired to truly dig in and figure out what's going on, I'm okay to pay for that. You want to say, hey, your taxes are going to go up a little bit, but we're going to hire a third party that's actually going to audit government, not just give a bunch of check marks on a bunch of waste and fraud. That's fine. I'll pay for that. Let's figure out where the waste is. Let's figure out where the bloat and the fat is so that we can cut it out. Maybe we don't need to leave the lights on. Or you know what? I'll end on this. When I used to drive in for the morning show, in the late 4 o'clock, early 5 o'clock hour, I had the pleasure of driving past the county government building every morning on South College Road. And of course it was pitch black at, you know, 5:05 or 5:15 in the morning. And I would drive by that building every freaking morning. And what would I see? Televisions, lights, things on in that building that had been running all night. Big TVs sitting on 24 hours a day. Not only is it a waste of electricity, that TV needs to be replaced now much more quickly because it's just sitting on all night. That is a prime example of the way in which government operates. When you go to bed, do you turn your television off or do you just leave it on all night? No, you probably turn it off because it's a waste of money and it kills the life of the television. But county government, yeah, we'll leave our TVs on the upper floors of our monolith government center that we decided to build in the parking lot of a strip club. We'll leave those on 24/7. Who the hell cares? It's not our money. Bah, but you know, inflation, we need an extra $68 million. There is a huge decision that needs to be made this year. We have got to put the pressure big time on our Republican commissioners. We have got to put the pressure big time for them to come together, the three Republicans that have the majority, Commissioner Leanne Pierce, Commissioner Dane Scalise, and the chair of the county commission, Bill Rivenbark. We have got to put the pressure on them to cut government waste, to cut taxes, and give more money back to the people instead of pissing it away on government, which is exactly what happens, so they can keep their TVs and their lights on in their stupid county government building 24/7. I'll hop off my soapbox there. So that is what we have to look forward to over the next couple of months. I'll keep you up to date on everything when these meetings are happening. When the meetings do happen, the early budget conversations, I'll be watching those. I'll take notes, play clips. I will keep you up to date with this. This is, you know, we talk about local government and having an impact on what goes on in your community. This is it right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you can actually have an impact on what government does. We've got to be the loudest voice in the room. If not, the county is going to keep taxes the way they are right now. Your property tax bill is going to double or triple, and they're going to piss away the money on pet projects and stupid government services that provide no value to you as a taxpayer. Mark my words, that's exactly what we're looking down the barrel at right now. Mark my words on that. I can promise you. I've seen it. I've seen it before. You'll see it again. You've got to be a loud voice in the room here. We'll keep a close eye on it right here. Well, that is going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget that you can get access to daily show notes and more, including our monthly hangout. That'll be taking place this Thursday by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thanks for joining us live this morning or via podcast. We're back with you tomorrow morning, Wednesday, right here on the Nick Craig Show.